You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Alex Noyer. Noyer's latest film is Sound of Violence, which tells the story of Alexis, a young woman who recovered her hearing after witnessing the brutal murder of her family when she was 10. This experience awakened synesthetic abilities in her and started her on a path of self-discovery through her healing tones of brutal violence. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Noyer about what it was important for him to achieve with the sound design, whether or not he judges Alexis for her actions, and what it means to live on through our music. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
It was kind of funny because, I mean, you use all sorts of microphones in the film.
Yeah.
And I saw mine on there. And there's this weird moment of like recognition. We're like, hey, that's my mic. I don't like what's happening with my mic right now. Something's off here.
I mean, she's clearly modified it. And we also, right. You know, we repainted it a bit. We made it look a little bit scruffy. But I recognize it.
Well, they're good mics. I'm not going to lie. So, I mean, she
yeah, they're quite widely used for podcasting, right?
Yeah, I think so. They're good. The Yeti or the Blue Mics or whatever they're called, or they're good quality.
Yeah, I went with a Samson, something that looks like a rocket. I don't know.
With a poorly placed mute button, apparently.
Very. It's like literally you barely touch it and that's it. I'll figure it out.
It's fair. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me. I really do. It is a wild film. It is unbelievably wild. And
that's
really
it. You've covered it.
That's it. Wild. Thanks. That's the review.
I'll take it.
No, it's great. It is. It is a horrific horror, if you could put it that way, in so many ways. I was wondering where the idea stemmed from for this particular vision.
It all started because of a documentary I produced, called 808, which is about the 808 drum machine. Essentially between 2011 and, 2016, that documentary took over my life. We toured the world speaking to some of the best artists in the music business about the drum machine, that revolutionized the sound of music, the TR-808. And it made me perhaps a little drum machine obsessed. And at the end, you know, I had been in documentaries overall for about 8 years. We did about two features and three short docs that went from arts to music. But I was a bit uninspired about continuing in music, in documentaries. And my wife looked at me and said, you know, maybe now is the time for you to delve into your first love, which is horror. And I was working on a few ideas, but inevitably I still had a drum machine in my head. And this is when I thought, I need to kill somebody with a drum machine. And from there, the short film Conductor was born. It was really supposed to be that cathartic exorcism of the ghosts of working so long with a drum machine. But it took off. It really it toured some of the finest genre festivals in the world, won a few awards, and there was a real appetite to know more about the character of Alexis. And I had already kind of obviously created context in my head and to brief the actors for the short about Alexis and about everything that is set up around her. But then I started to write her backstory first and thinking it might make another good short film. But then I just gained momentum and kept writing and it went from a very sort of, because the short is very much of a very horror short. I wanted the feature to be more of a character study, albeit also a horror film, but just have a more of a character dimension to it. So there you go, Sound of Violence, the journey of an artist with who makes music through murder. That's how it happened.
Now, in the short, I haven't seen the short. I've seen the feature, obviously. But did you deal, like, you still had the character of Alexis? Is that?
Yes, but we're much more elusive about her. And in fact, this is one of the reasons why the short is called Conductor and the film was not called Conductor. It was initially, and then we kind of thought it just didn't work anymore. Because as Conductor, there's a sense of, you know, being standing in front of everything happening and controlling without ever touching anything. And so, in the, which for the short, it really applied. But for the feature, she's obviously more directly involved. So the conductor position didn't work. But the character was, it's funny because many journeys are experienced in the 6 minutes that this, the short gives, and it can be found on YouTube. If you type conductor short, or conductor Neuer, you'll find it. But again, it's just this weird dynamic about the character of Alexis that we are not sure about, and until something big happens, and then there's how her arc ends is quite surprising. So again, it brought a lot of questions, and actually including with people who are not into horror movies. So this is when I felt that the character had really something special to her, and I couldn't wait to write more about the journey of Alexis.
And Jasmine does a wonderful job in the role. And I was wondering,
I agree.
I'm assuming that she did not play the character in the short, or did she?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. Kelly Jordan was Alexis in the short. But when we expanded and created the story, our amazing casting director, Amy Renee, suggested we speak to Jasmine. And the day I met Jasmine was the day I met Alexis. It was incredible. It was, I was very aware of her work because of The Leftovers. A show that I love, and I loved her character in it. This is when I noticed that she could really act with her eyes, and which is a skill that I find incredible, and which really, really helped in making Sound of Violence. And yes, we met. We always joke about who was more nervous, and I guarantee you it was me. But at the end of that meeting, I had this overwhelming feeling that she was Alexis. And I had left a fair bit of open-mindedness in the profile of the character as far as embodying her and her whole identity. And it was amazing to see that Jasmine had read the script and really thought about all those parts and how she cared about things being portrayed authentically. And that I would never delve into cliches or anything, and it's just like, this is why I'd left it open, because I needed somebody to meet me there and bring authenticity to a character who was a very unusual antagonist put in a protagonist position and with all the cards on the table, and so this is where the quality of an actress like Jasmine become an incredible asset for a director, for a storyteller. And I'm extremely lucky that she accepted to take on the role because, she elevates the movie. And, with everything wonderful that is happening to her now, she's going to be in the new Scream. She's on the Showtime show, The Yellow Jackets. She did the video game, the Spider-Man video game, Miles Morales. She has tons of things going on. And probably I would not be able to get her nowadays for the film. But I'm just extremely, extremely proud that she's our lead.
Well, I mean, it's amazing because somehow I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because somehow she makes this character empathetic. And that is incredibly difficult to do with a character like hers, because she is doing terrible, terrible things to people. And not accidentally. It's interesting. I was wondering, do you feel the film, or was the goal to judge Alexis for her actions, or is there embedded in there a sympathy for her?
I think there is a journey for an audience to be very conflicted about Alexis. And that was my hope. I knew that there was an element of, what she does is so gruesome that that obviously it's hard to say, well, now you have to like her. Of course, it's there's a certain level of expectations that, but the fact that I'm leaving an element of doubt with members of the audience on whether or not they understand her, they sympathize with her reason, her backstory, her inspiration, the fact that she's an artist, not a killer. She never looks at her victim. She composes music. She's all about her craft. So I wanted to create a certain ambivalence that would actually make the audience feel conflicted. The fact that the audience might start tapping their foot during the music and then, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, just like, and then at the same time, you know, we're very close with her and we have this world of synesthesia, that condition that really allows us to understand the immersive feeling of the artistic high that she experiences. So with all those colors in this moment where we're with her and we're almost like we become cut off from everything that all the mayhem she causes, there is a sense that we might be stepping into a dimension where actually we might understand her. I don't think we're going to get to the level where anybody forgives her, but at least going through, and that's what I always say for this film, the best thing to do is not to assume anything. Mm. It's just to take the handbrake off and just go for it.
I want to come back though, because you said some great stuff there. I think it's really interesting, but I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the sound itself. I was wondering what it was important for you to achieve in the sound design, because as the film goes on, the sound almost becomes as important to the film as the storyline or the characters. And I think there, I can't remember when it is, but there's just this one point where it's a montage, but it's almost a montage of sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you
you know the scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, without spoilers, I know what you're seeing. It's leading up to the finale, the sound and you absolutely got it spot on. The sound is beyond a soundtrack. It's beyond a score. It is very much part of the story because we weave in and out of things that also the characters and the audience hear at the same time. And the performance and the whole journey is about creating her opus. And we had to create we had to shift the paradigm essentially, where the music was becoming part of the arsenal of Alexis. Mm. And the resulting mayhem was the music. So the flesh noise become the music. So by shifting this paradigm, we almost send a part of the situation into, you know, the score, and then we take some of the score into the situation, especially when we are very much with her. It was an experimental challenge that we started with the short, and obviously the lessons we learned on the short were extremely valuable in order to achieve this on this movie. But this is where I must commend my amazing team for that, because from Jaakko Manninen, who's our lead composer, who worked then with Alexander Burke and Omar Aldeeb, to Jussi Tegelman, who's a regular collaborator of Sam Raimi's, and who really also as a musician himself, really pushed the mixing of all the sort of soundtrack, score, Foley, dialogue, everything to kind of create moments that were not mixed in a sort of traditional way, because we had to push certain feelings. And all the way to the finale where we had options to do about in situ versus more immersive versus all that. I set out a very high stake challenge, and I'm just incredibly grateful that the team really embraced the experimental side of this film to create something that's never been done before. And I don't believe I'm arrogant in saying this never been done before, because I'm pretty sure it has never been done before. Similarly, the inclusion of synesthesia into the story is not something that horror has ever touched upon. And I, you know, in a way, when you try to do something like that, you often set yourself up for failure. But and that will be down to the audience to decide. But the one thing I can say is that the team from my cinematographer, Daphne Kinwu, and all our camera team, the lighting and such, all the way to the sound, the immersive side of that story, the uncommon side of this film was really about the team pushing everything and willing to really experiment with me to create something that I hope is unique.
Well, it is. It is. It is. And it's interesting because there's been, I mean, in recent years, I feel like there's been a couple of films that have really tried to play with sound and bring it into their genre in different ways. Sound of Metal does it entirely differently than you do, but it's just as important to the setting of the story and the characters in the film. But it is interesting how you seem to have used it here. And I want to be careful how I ask this here because it's a genuine question. We have a unique story here where Alexis is trying everything she can to hold on to that sound. You know, she's found a way to manifest itself. You know, we see her at the beginning and she can't hear at all. There's something unique here about the way that she is using sound almost to keep the life that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering what it was about sound in this particular way that you thought this could be something that's empowering for my, I would say protagonist, because I want to say hero and villain, but she's not a hero in any way, shape, or form.
Said it might be the origin story of a supervillain. So
yeah, I could see that.
It's a great question. I mean, and this is why it's important to trace it back to the origin story, where we understand that she lost her hearing in an accident, and then she regains it through the traumatic events. But with it, that synesthesia, that high of that conflictual high of the trauma of what's going on with the elation of recuperating her hearing, becomes in this young mind this sort of, you know, explosion, and the synesthesia that comes with it, everything becomes a sort of out of body experience for young Alexis, and so after that she just pursues a quest to feel this again, to have this moment. So sound is not just musical, but it is a multi-dimensional experience for her. Because she hears it, she sees it, and it makes her feel more alive than ever. Mm-hmm. And in the light of destruction that she witnessed as a child, I think the trauma is very much part of it to give it value. And this is why she demands so much as well. As we hear, we see in the S&M scene early on, she is not there to just kind of do it. She knows. She quickly understands how far she needs to go. And then, you know, the fact that she's losing her hearing again and that she feels that she's running out of time wraps up a whirlwind for a very conflicted character.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in earlier on, you referred to her as an artist. And I think that's a fair way to describe it, because everything is related to the music. This is not somebody who just wants to kill anybody in their path, but there's something about this that drives her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you could talk about the idea of music as an expression of the soul. Like in this case, it's a very a dark expression.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Art is creativity is a neurosis. Mm-hmm. You know, we are. It's a conflict. It's an inner conflict when you create things. You love and hate things that you do. You create every part of it to compose something together that is coherent to a thought, to a vision, to an impetus. And so for music to be life, almost literally, when it comes to Alexis, it needs to embrace the destructive process of the creative process, if that makes sense. And then, so I do think, I mean, I'm the son of an artist, not a murderous artist.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's good to know.
He didn't use any, I don't think my father used any blood on any of his canvases.
This is not an
autobiography. Then again, I don't know. Maybe. my grandfather neither, I believe. But the fact is like I witnessed the commitment to the artistic process. We just, you know, you go all in. I believe I tried to go all in as well with this film. You know, I've been a producer for 17 years, but this is my feature directorial debut, and I just decided, well, you know, I'm not going to hold back. And that's why I went with a fully experimental mind and went, you know, and accepted that some, you know, everything that he was going to take me through. I think it's important to piece together the ups and downs of the creative process. I think in music, we have inherent violence in a lot of instruments. Like drum machine seems to be an obvious example of a violent type of instrument that at the same time is the bedrock of so much music. So it is the bedrock of creativity while being extremely violent and destructive. So I do think that in the journey of a musician, of an artist, and especially a musician, there is that confrontation that is internal and external when you put it out to an audience, as we experience in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Alex we start to wrap up. There is one line which I thought was really interesting. Without any spoilers, Alexis refers to one of the victims and says, they aren't dead. They're a part of my music. And
that's a reference to my old love for philosophy.
it was a fascinating line. And honestly, it made me want to ask you about what it means to live on through music. Like, do you think that really is the case?
You know, I think it is as we have lost incredible musicians. I mean, incredible artists in general. Their art makes them eternal, and I do think that music has this is a language, and it is after somebody's passing. It's a language. You know, there's a conversation, and I do believe that Alexis genuinely believes that she is not destructing. She's not destructive. Sorry, she is creating. She is transforming. Everything is becoming, and it's, this is why, again, you know, I didn't want her to face the murders and to really be in her world with the music, because that is the seed, that is the output of her process. And she doesn't see it as killing somebody. She sees it as creating music. And that, I think that focus, which again, will leave audiences conflicted, is the basis upon which she does believe that she is transferring human energy into the performance of and the composition of her opus. And I think this is what the finale is about. Although I'm very, very cruel, perhaps.
I don't know if that's the way you want to end it after we said no.
It's an uplifting family movie for all ages, and it's the sequel will be on Cartoon Network.
That's right. It's Disney Princesses Gone Mad, is what. No, honestly, it's a fascinating film, Alex. I really
thank you very much.
And thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was great fun.
Anytime. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye. I'm never going